Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, QT and Sign Guy with you as we wrap up BS Month today on Turnbuckle Turmoil, final guest of the year. But really quickly, before we do that, some show notes. If you're looking for wrestling, you have AWE in Atlanta, Georgia today, KDW in Jeffersonville, Indiana, DOA Pro Wrestling in Portland, Oregon, and also in Portland, Oregon, as usual on a Sunday, NWA Blue Collar Wrestling featuring Tommy Celsius versus LB Moonshine for the Heavyweight Championship. Without further ado, our final BS of the month, we have Rex Sharp's wife, his wife, Beth Sharp.
Hello, guys. It's me. Rex's wife.
Well, we're happy to have you here. It's been an arduous journey of a nightmare getting through BS month, I'll tell you.
That's what I heard. I didn't know that BSs were so unreliable.
Well, you and Biff Slater are the most reliable.
Well, good. So we're batting 50, what is it, 500? Is that how they do batting averages?
It is how they do batting averages.
Oh, well, we're batting 500 then.
Yes. Have you ever played softball with Biff Slater?
I haven't, but I would be willing to if he was interested.
I will contact him and see what we can set up there.
All right.
This, I believe, your very first time on our program.
I believe so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, in that case, you're going to get the first-timer's question. I know you're not directly involved in the pro wrestling industry, but how did you get mixed up in any way, shape, or form in this crazy industry?
Well, I was a big wrestling fan as a kid growing up, and I actually got my first concussion from me and my dad trying to do wrestling in our house, and we had concrete floors, and he dropped me on my head. And so, I don't know, we just used to watch it all the time. I had an aunt and uncle that had one of those big satellite dishes in their yard, and they would pick up Canadian wrestling, and I would sit at the top of the stairs because I wasn't allowed to watch it, and I would watch it from there. And I kind of got out of it when I got to be a teenage girl because it wasn't exactly the cool thing to be into when you're like a girl, I guess, or something. So I kind of got out of it. But then when I got married to Rex or got involved with Rex a few years ago, he's always been a big wrestling fan. So I got back into it. And I think at this point I'm probably a bigger fan than he is because he hates everything and I still enjoy some of it.
Now, can you confirm what promotion out of Canada you were enjoying at the top of the stairs?
I'm not sure. I was so little at that point in time, I can't really remember. I just remember liking watching the stories. Like, I couldn't tell you who any of the people were or anything. I just remember sitting up there and watching and thinking how cool it was. I was very young.
So it was like 5 years ago.
Oh, that's nice, thank you. It was probably more like 30 years ago.
So it was years before you were born. Got it. All right. Now, you have also attended your fair share of live professional wrestlings, am I correct?
Yes, I've attended a few, definitely. Oh. We are getting ready to go to an IWA show in a few days as well.
In the shows you've been to so far, what would you say is your very favorite venue?
My favorite venue. Well, I enjoyed when we went to go see Monday Night Raw at Bankers Life Fieldhouse because we are regulars there for the Pacers games, and so that's a very familiar thing. But also because when Brex got in a fight with someone we were sitting next to, we got seated in a special area, I guess, for problem children where they, like, sequester you. And we had, like, the best seats in the house for some big thing with Rusev and Lana. It was amazing, and they had all this confetti come down from the ceiling. So that was pretty fun. But, yeah, I don't know. That's probably the best experience was all of that.
You've obviously seen quite a few wrestlers in your day as well, be it someone you've seen live in person at a show or someone you've seen on TV. Whom would you classify as the oddest that you've come across?
Oh, the oddest wrestler?
Yes.
Oh, man. That's a difficult question. I think most wrestlers are kind of odd in their own way. That's a hard question, Sign Guy. Let me think on that one for a few minutes. I don't know who would be the oddest. One that I've actually seen?
Yeah, it's someone either in person or on the television or even the tube of you.
Probably the most odd that I've seen in person was when I saw $5 Wrestling, and I think his name is Red Raider Rock, I believe is his name. He's probably the oddest one I've seen.
All right. One of the wrestlers you came across when you attended Heroes of Wrestling made his way up in this neck of the woods last week, losing his NWA Continental Championship. That would be Will Huckabee. What were your thoughts on the Undisputed Wrestling show's own Will Huckabee?
Oh, he was a fantastically cordial person to meet, and I also stole his title for a while and walked around with it on my shoulder like I was champ. And so that was a fun experience. But yeah, I was disappointed to hear that he had lost his beloved Connie.
And what was a very well officiated match with no outside interference that any official in the squared circle noticed at all?
I actually didn't see the match. I just heard the outcome.
Well, you should believe everything you hear on this show.
Oh,
the official saw no chicanery going down whatsoever.
Uh-oh. Is it on the YouTube?
It is. Just search for Bad Blood versus Will Huckabee.
Oof. I'll have to do that when I get off here.
And if it makes you feel any better, you will have another chance to visit Connie in Indianapolis when Bad Blood makes his way to NWA Circle City to defend against Portland, Oregon's own Buddy Highway.
Oh, my. Well, I'll have to try to see if I can catch that. I wonder if I could steal Connie from him, too.
I don't know. He'd super kick you from about 6 feet out. Ask Dane Paisley. You got to be 6 feet away to be safe from a super kick from Bad Blood.
Okay. Well, I'll try to remember that.
Also, Beast Barnett and Mini Beast going to be making the trip there to see Buddy Highway, who happens to be Mini Beast's favorite wrestler.
Really?
Yes, this is all confirmed.
Wow. Well, that'll be exciting for Mini Beast.
It really will. He's never seen him live and in person. He's always checked him out live on the YouTube and I'm sure the Roku device and various other means.
Wow, okay.
He may also possess a Buddy Highway necktie.
Wow. Is that officially licensed merchandise?
Apparently so.
That's fascinating.
It really is. Now, were you a fan of the concept of Heroes and Legends, which mixes a lot of the local Indiana-based wrestlers in with a lot of the legendary names from television over the years.
Yeah, I did actually. I enjoyed that show quite a bit. It was an interesting mix, and it was pretty fun. So I actually had an opportunity to, in the hallway by the bathroom, meet Scott Hall myself. So that was a pretty fun experience. He gave me a creepy hug.
Was it as creepy as the one that got him in trouble at WCW when he was groping that broad in a parking lot?
It may have rivaled that. It was a pretty creepy hug that I received. But it was a pretty fun experience to get to meet him and talk to him. But yeah. You know, the Razor Ramones played that Heroes and Legends show, and they were trying to give him one of the Razor Ramones shirts, and he completely no-sold them all. And I said, well, let me handle this, because I have a feeling maybe he'll talk to me when he wouldn't talk to you geeks. So I just passed him in the hallway of the bathroom, and he was like, oh, I really like your shirt. And I was like, oh, thanks, and I have one here in your size if you would like one. And he was like, yeah, definitely. So I talked to him for a few minutes, and then he gave me his creepy hug, and we were on our way.
So he even no-sold Alomar.
Yeah, he did. But mostly he no-sold Beast, I believe, was the main one that he no-sold.
Well, that's just mean.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in your opinion of watching wrestling on the television, live in person, on the YouTube, so forth, so on, what would you say is your favorite style of wrestling?
My favorite style of wrestling? Well, I really, honestly, at this point in time, I really like Chad Gable. I like the way that he's bringing his, you know, Olympic style wrestling, I guess, maybe into wrestling. Is a lot different from most of the stuff that you see on WWE, and I think he's probably the most interesting person to watch right now as far as his style, but probably just because it's so different, I guess, maybe, than other things that people are doing, so it stands out more.
Were you a fan of Kurt Angle and or Chris Taylor, who used a very similar style in their careers?
Well, you know, Kurt Angle was in doing, like, his main stuff with wrestling, like, when I wasn't watching it. So my experience with him has been, like, in TNA, so I wasn't really a fan of him because at that point he was already injured and not really doing anything super fantastic, I thought. But I probably would have been if I was watching it at that point in time. But like I said, that was during the point in time when I wasn't watching wrestling as much because I was being a cool teenage girl.
That was kind of a fad 5 years ago. Now, we have a contest going right now. You might be interested in this. The contest is pick where Beast Barnett will go to college. Would you like to submit your choice for where Beast Barnett goes to college?
Let's see. Beast Barnett, where he should go to college. Let's see. I could see, I imagine Beast probably wants to stay local. So I would say my guess would be IUPUC, the Columbus branch of IU.
Yeah, he wouldn't have to travel very far at all to get to school there.
Nope.
He might be able to walk it if he wasn't adverse to a little physical activity.
He probably could walk that.
Now, we have a sub-contest for Beast. This contest is to determine whom will give Beast a ride and where. If you win, you will get to give Beast a ride to a location of your choosing, have you a submission for this very important contest?
Ooh. So who would give him a ride?
Whoever wins the contest gives the ride.
Oh, and what's the question then? Where to give him a ride to?
Yes, you get to take him anywhere you want.
Ooh. Let's see. I would take Beast to, let's see. He would want to go to Five Guys up in Greenwood and then maybe to the Hollywood shop where he is a frequent shopper. That would be my guess. He would want to go to Greenwood.
All right, so Greenwood.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm marking this down in the dedicated notebook.
Okay.
Greenwood. Got it. All right. Now, speaking of Beast, obviously his oratory skills are unparalleled. In your opinion, whom would you say is the best talker currently in the wrestling business?
Well, let's see. The best talker in the wrestling business right now. I don't know. Honestly, I think most of them kind of suck because most of them are reading scripts, and it's not very genuine feeling. So it's hard for me to come up with the best talker. I would probably honestly say out of all of the people, and he's not technically in the wrestling business, but I believe that my husband, Rex Razor Sharp, is probably the best talker of anybody I've ever met. So
hurts me in my pancreas that it wasn't me, but we'll count Rex Sharp since he did once wrestle under a mask, apparently, as a presidential nominee.
Yes, he did.
Is there footage of that match?
You know, I don't think that there is footage of that match anywhere. If there was, I haven't seen it, so.
Hurts me in my right kidney that there's not footage of that, because I would watch it on a weekly basis.
Oh, you and me both. I would have enjoyed seeing that very much.
I will confirm there is footage of myself versus Roger Blade available on the YouTube.
Oh, okay. I actually may have seen that.
I don't see why not. It was a 15 1/4 star classic as ranked by Brian Alvarez.
Wow.
Well, we have a game on this show we like to play. You may have heard tale of it. It is called Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk. Are you familiar with said game?
No, I am not. What is this game?
You will be given a series of two options. The option that you most prefer, that is your answer.
Oh, okay.
Are you prepared to play around?
Sure.
All right, here we go. Lucha Underground or Ring of Honor?
Lucha Underground.
Cage match or no DQ match?
No DQ.
Total Dudes or Undisputed Wrestling Show?
Total Dudes.
Earl Grey or English Breakfast?
Earl Grey.
Jazz or punk?
Punk.
Waffles or French toast?
French toast.
Michael Cole or Kevin Kelly?
Kevin Kelly.
Randy Orton or Randy Savage?
Randy Savage.
Final one, pinfall or submission?
Pinfall.
All right, that concludes Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk. And at this time, QT is standing by. I'm sure he has questions, so I will pass things over to QT. Thez, help us all.
Okay. It was good talking to you,
Sunshine Guy. Hello, Beth.
Hello, QT.
I'd like to extend that Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk, if I can. Are you ready for three more Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funks? And exactly three.
Sure.
Oh, okay. Karaoke, or one-on-one basketball with Rex Sharp in your driveway?
Karaoke.
All right. Avocado or Old El Paso salsa?
Avocado.
Okay, avocado. Very good. Okay. Leapin' Lanny Poffle or Gold Dust?
Gold Dust.
Gold Dust. Okay, very good. Now, was one of your favorite scenes in WWF history was when Gold Dust met up with Booker T at the 7-Eleven and requested a bite of his weenie? Was that it?
That was okay, I guess.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, now, Beth, Gene Simmons was in direct talk with Vince McMahon to bring his demon character to WWF, and the demon did make several in-ring appearances. In 1979, Kiss's I Was Made for Loving You reached gold status as a single, one of only two gold singles for the band. The other single was on the flip side of the song Detroit Rock City. Can you name the song that was on the flip side?
Nope.
It was Beth. Yes.
Okay.
Beth, yes. Okay. Well, do you think Zane Paisley would make a better Star Child character than a demon?
Yes.
Okay. In what role did the Star Child have in Kiss? Was he lead guitar, drummer, or bass?
I actually have no idea.
Oh, okay. He was a drummer. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No, what do you say? The Star Child was Paul Stanley, the singer. I'm thinking of the Cat. Okay, very good. All right. All right, well, Beth, what do you plan as in a way of snacks to serve at karaoke on New Year's Eve? And has Dave the Beast Barnett requested Gallo Italian salami on Triscuit crackers?
No, he hasn't, and I'm not sure what we're going to serve yet. I haven't planned that yet.
Wow, all right. Okay, you don't know what? Okay, very good. It's kind of in flow there. Okay, very good. All right. Now, Beth, one of the main questions that I was going to ask, and Sign Guy requested this, was you took your dog, Cece, to the vet on December 15th, and mm-hmm. she had an infection. And
uh-huh.
you had hoped it was nothing major at the time. Can you give us an update on what Cece was suffering from?
She had a surgery because she had a softball-sized tumor on her back, and where they had done the surgery, she had gotten an infection, and I had to take her back to the vet to get antibiotics.
Oh, wow. All right, antibiotics. Does this
mm-hmm.
come in pill form, and do you have to hide said pill form in her dog food?
Yes, it did, and yes, I did.
Okay, very good. All right. Can you give us a quick name of what the antibiotic is?
Ceflexin.
Ceflexin. Wow. All right. Very good. All right. Now, Beth, in my opinion, Total Dudes, episode 39's main premise and bullet sticking points center on Natalia Neidhart's and Brie Bella's anatomy discussion of extra frisky dog habits. Now, on the Sign of the Times, Nick Icky and Kerry Offal are mentioned for people who love the snaps. They are the focal point of a story about a boy and his dog. My question is, do you believe that upon hearing this episode that it will vastly become one of their favorites? One of Team IOU's favorites?
Possibly. It was a good episode.
It was a good episode, yes. Yes. Oh, okay. Well, Beth, What is a Zubaz club, and does it relate to wrestling? Zubaz.
Yeah, it's the well, there's a club called Beards and Zubaz, and of course, since I'm a lady, I don't have a beard, but I was hoping that I could become an auxiliary member since I got a pair of Zubaz leggings for Christmas this year from my husband.
Oh, okay.
It's a group on Facebook.
Ah, okay. All right. Now, Beth, was Dwight Schrute your favorite Office character? And in a way, did he remind you of British Bulldog Davy Boy Smith?
He was not my favorite character. I would say that probably my favorite character would be, well, Michael Scott or Creed. I enjoyed him a lot.
Who is your second favorite?
Creed Bratton.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Beth, before the show, you said you got a leather jacket for Christmas. Is
mm-hmm.
it like the one that Fonzie wore in Happy Days?
No, it's not. It's a little bit more of a female-style leather jacket, commonly referred
okay.
to as a fat camouflage.
Okay. So it's something more than like a leather Tuscadero would wear?
No, it's like more like the things that Renee Young wears when she's doing interviews backstage.
Okay, Renee Young. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know who Leather Tuscadero was in real life?
No, I do not.
Susie Quattro. Susie Quattro. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Sign Guy was a huge fan of her song "Can the Can." Very huge fan. Yes.
Oh.
Can the Can. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, Beth, will you put the gang sign of the Venti Lattes on the back of this leather jacket? Venti Lattes.
I don't know. I've never been officially inducted into this gang. So I would say probably not until I was officially inducted into the gang would I put that on my leather jacket.
Okay. All right. I will tell you what. If you make it to your 25th wedding anniversary with Rex, we will officially induct you into the Venti Lattes.
Oof, that's a major undertaking I'd have to go through to get into the Venti Lattes. Does everyone have to go through such a rigorous standard to get in?
Well, you know, to get into the Venti Lattes, you have to do some degrading things. Not to say that being married to Rex would be degrading. That's not what I'm saying. It tests the backbone of every person. Yes.
That's a 22-year wait, though. I don't know.
Oh,
I might join
right.
another
Maybe
gang
we
before
can,
that.
All right. I'll talk to Sign Guy, and maybe we can cut this in half, and you can make it. If you make it to 12 and a half years, we might induct you into the Venti Lattes. Yes.
Okay. As long as Sign Guy says so.
Okay. We'll bring that up at our next club meeting. Okay. Very
okay.
good. Now, speaking of, what is the 25th wedding anniversary? Is that the diamond?
You know, I'm not sure. I know that the third one is leather because that is why I actually got my leather jacket. It would be just celebrating our third wedding anniversary. I'm not sure about 25th.
Oh,
Rex
all right.
is more
the third
up to speed
anniversary
on what
is.
The, yeah.
The third anniversary leather. Is leather?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Oh. Well, now, isn't the first anniversary paper? And if
mm-hmm.
so, did Rex give you 2-ply toilet paper Charmin with aloe vera?
He did not, no.
Oh, okay. Boy, all right. Okay, aloe vera. Okay. All right. Can you be my Indiana liaison and give Buddy Highway a Hostess fruit pie and say that QT sent it to you via UPS?
I guess if you send it to me via UPS, I could, but I'm not usually one to make up stories, so you'd have to send it to me if you wanted me to say that.
Oh, okay. Send it to you legitimately. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Now, Beth, the Sign of the Times, episode 212, is entitled The Silver Edition.
Mm-hmm.
I am shown going over the Devo album that Rex gave me. How much more shelf space do you have now that the album is gone?
We have a little bit more, about room for one more album.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
What album will replace the Devo one?
I'm not sure. You'd have to ask Rex that because it's his record collection, not mine.
Okay. All right. Now, Beth, the great scientist Isaac Isenoff, scientist and author, once said, "People who think they know everything are a great annoyance to those of us who do." I just thought I'd say that to you. Actually,
okay.
Are you a big Isaac Isenoff fan? That's what I'm getting at.
I wouldn't count a big fan, no. He's okay, I guess. I wouldn't call myself a fan.
Okay. Now, when you first learned of Isaac Isenoff, were you in Hauser Junior High School? Hauser.
No, because I didn't grow up around here in Columbus, so I went to school at Richmond High School in Richmond, Indiana.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Beth, Lana Turner said, "A successful man is one who makes more money than his wife can spend. A successful
mm-hmm.
woman is one who can find such a man." Do you agree with Lana Turner?
That's an interesting concept. I would measure success differently, but it's an interesting concept, though.
Okay, all right. I put interesting comment down. Okay, very good. Now, would you agree with this statement? When most Appalachian women are so fat that when they step on the scale, their doctors say, "Hey, that's my phone number."
I don't know. I don't know that I've ever actually met an Appalachian woman, so I wouldn't be able to comment on their weight.
Okay. I'm going to mark that down. Not have met an Appalachian woman yet. Okay. How about, "Your mama is so ugly, she made One Direction go in the other direction."
Like my mother is that ugly? Appalachian. Like I said,
yeah.
I've never met them, so I don't know if they are particularly ugly or fat. So it's hard to comment.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
How about in Appalachia, kids are so poor that at Christmas they get videos of West Coast kids playing with toys.
Aw, that's actually really sad. I hope that that's not true.
Yes,
I would feel sorry for those children.
World. Yes.
I would feel bad for those kids if that's the only gift that they got. But, I guess it may be. There's a lot of problems with the income equality in the United States. So I could see that being a problem.
All right. I'm going to ask Sign Guy to strike that from the record. Yes, there will be no more mention of that. Yes. And no one will be able to find it when listening to this interview. Sign Guy, you can strike that. Okay, very good. Sign Guy, all I'm getting at is Sign Guy is very good at overdubbing. Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's good.
Okay.
Sign Guy's good at a lot of stuff like that. He always does such a good job at doing all the music and everything. So I'm sure he's good at overdubbing and editing things out.
But not quite as good as Dave the Beast Barnett singing Copacabana at karaoke. I hear he's tops. Yes.
That was definitely the highlight of New Year's Eve last year's karaoke party, was him singing Copacabana. That was definitely the highlight of the party.
Yes, I my only regret in life is I never got to see Dave Barnett on Carlito's Cabana. Now that would have been something. Yes.
Yeah. I do think though that there is video somewhere of him singing that from New Year's Eve.
Wow. All right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you can, you can forward it to Sun Guys Wrestling Show Facebook page. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or we'll see what I can do.
All right. Now, Beth, on the 10th of March, April 1st, 2001, in Houston, Texas, during WrestleMania, China defeated Ivory for the WWE Women's Championship. Now, 4 months later, on July 1st, 2001, the title was vacated when China and the WWF couldn't come to terms on a new contract. So on November 18th, 2001, in Greensboro, North Carolina, in the Survivor Series pay-per-view, Trish Stratus pinned Ivory in a six-pack challenge for the vacant title. Can you name some of the other participants?
No, I don't think I saw that.
Oh, okay. Well, there was Jazz, Jacqueline, Lita, and Molly Holly.
Oh, okay.
Now, Molly Holly was one of my favorites because she went on to become an apprentice with a Hurricane and Rosie, a superhero apprentice. Yes.
Hmm.
Molly Holly.
Okay.
Are there any truth to the rumors that you have a Molly Holly wrestling card low-numbered and autographed?
I don't think I do.
Okay, do you have any low-numbered autographed cards of Rey Mysterio?
I have an autographed copy of the WWE game autographed by Rey Mysterio, the WrestleMania game.
Wow.
I actually won it in a contest.
You won it in a contest?
I did.
Oh, wow. Can you tell us about said contest?
It was a contest by WWE, I believe, on their Facebook page, and you just entered it. And it was actually for WrestleMania tickets, and they sent me an email and said, you won the grand prize or something like that. So I actually thought that I had won the trip to go see WrestleMania. And then I sent them an email and was like, did I actually win the WrestleMania tickets? And the guy was like, no, you didn't win the grand prize. You won the first prize, which is an autographed copy of the WrestleMania game by Rey Mysterio, not the tickets. And I was like, oh, okay. But we played the game, and I played with Rex and Beast, and I beat them both. So at least there was that.
Since you beat Dave the Beast Barnett at this game, has he had to go into therapy? That's my question.
I think that they were both pretty upset about it, but I don't know about if he had to go to therapy for that or not. I'll have to ask him.
Wow. Now, have you played Rex and Dave this game only once and retired undefeated?
I believe so, yeah. I think we only played it the one time.
Oh,
now
right.
It is
right.
Displayed on the wall. Yeah, we have it displayed on the wall now, so it's more of a display piece instead of a thing that we play with.
Okay, all right. Now, do you have any low-numbered cards of Nunzio or Juventud Guerrera?
I don't believe so.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. All right. Well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, QT. Well, Beth, you brought up the WrestleMania game,
mm-hmm.
and QT brought up a number of rare wrestling trading cards, which you could find at Diamond in the Park in Lake Forest Park, Washington, most likely, if you ever were to go to that card shop. Definitely not Who's on First in Marysville, Washington, because the guy that runs that place is insane. But what would you say is the best piece of wrestling merchandise that you own?
Oh, the best piece of wrestling merchandise that I own. It would probably be, my favorite one probably would be I have this stuffed Undertaker doll. I believe I got it for Christmas last year. And you squeeze him, and he plays the Undertaker music. Yeah, I'll squeeze him for you. Yep. And he's just a little stuffed Undertaker doll.
Can you confirm where exactly you squeezed him?
I squeezed him right between his pectoral muscles, I believe. And I believe he was actually from the tag, it says he was a Burger King toy, probably from a kid's meal, in 2010.
Wow. All right.
He's very cute. I like him very much.
It sounds like it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, speaking of the Undertaker, he kind of a scary guy.
Mm-hmm.
And in wrestling, there's been a number of scary incidents, be it, you know, injuries or things that just look frightening, wrestlers that did something scary that frightened people. What would you say has been the scariest moment you've witnessed?
What does it have to actually be in a match or just something to do with wrestling?
We'll just go with something to do with wrestling.
And I would say probably the scariest thing I saw was at a Mick Foley comedy show. We were in the green room. And because Mick Foley invited us to go back there and hang out with him and watch football before the show. And we actually witnessed him brushing his teeth and spitting it into a Kroger bag. That was probably the scariest thing I've witnessed related to wrestling. It was very scary.
Now, is this because there's a lot of gingivitis?
Well, I think it was more the fact that he's spitting it into a Kroger bag, and then I wasn't sure what was going to happen with that Kroger bag when he was completed with the teeth brushing. So I don't know if he was going to throw it in a trash can himself or if he was just going to let it sit around until someone else picked it up. That's kind of what scared me. I was afraid, like, what if somebody else just picked that up and it was full of, like, Mick Foley spit from his mouth?
Did Rex want to take it home?
He may have, you know. I actually don't know. It's possible that he may have it somewhere stashed away.
That wouldn't surprise me a bit.
It wouldn't surprise me either.
Now, I believe we can confirm that Beast Barnett's top 18 scariest moment is when I put a dent in the HPW arena floor with my face. I think he was a bit traumatized.
That sounds like it would have been horribly scary. I'm sure that that was very painful as well.
And
did you make it out of that situation alive?
I actually did survive. I popped up a few minutes later and was wanting to continue with the show, but Dice wouldn't let me.
Oh, my gosh. That's horrible. Were you?
Yeah, I know. I was fine. I could have made the main event, but Dice is like, no, stay down. Stay down.
Oof. So
I always listen to Dice.
At that point in time, were you married?
Yes.
Oh, was your wife there?
In the front row, yes.
Oh, my gosh. She must have been terrified at that point in time.
No, not really. Not really.
Oh, my gosh. I would have been horrified. That would have definitely been my top scariest moment.
Really? Then I will send you the footage. Because I would like to be, like, top.
Okay, well, send me the footage, because the next time I'm asked that question, that would definitely be my answer.
That is a deal, then.
You could be my top answer, sign guy.
that was worth putting a dent in the HPW arena floor, which is a real thing. I thought it was just like an urban legend or something the boys would say, you know, but nope.
Yeah.
Actual real dent in the floor. We have a picture of it.
What is the floor composed of? Is it a concrete floor or is it made of some other? So you made a dent with your face in a concrete floor?
Yes, this is confirmed. It really happened.
That's horrifying. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
He has very hard cheekbones. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Mm. Yes. But it didn't stop the filming of the Sign of the Times episode 105. I did that the next day in the hospital bed on morphine.
Oh, my.
And, you know, Beast Barnett was so traumatized, he forgot to say hot nurse needed at ringside stat. He just kind of stood there with this horrified look on his face.
Well, that was too bad. He would have had the opportunity to get you a hot nurse. What a failure.
Casey Carlisle was in the building.
Oh, my gosh. Did she have her hot nurse outfit with her?
I think so. And then just nobody said anything about the hot nurse.
Man, that's horribly unfair to you at that point.
I would say so.
The one opportunity you would have to get a hot Casey Carlisle nurse and no one even calls for her, that was... I'm going to have to talk to Beast about that when I see him on Monday night.
Yeah, apparently he was kind of traumatized at the time.
Well, there's no excuse for that.
That's what I would say, you know. You know, Officer Greg Burns, who was also refereeing in that match, he was scared, and he'd been shot point blank in the line of duty as a police officer.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's awful frightening as well.
A little
bit,
yeah.
There was also something that I found extremely alarming recently. When I was watching the Sign of the Time, the episode with the random fan edition. What was going on with that guy, if you don't mind me asking? That was a very interesting thing to happen. Was that a setup thing, or was that really legitimately a random person that recognized you walking through the park with his dog?
I get recognized a lot. I'm a local celebrity.
Oh, my. So this guy was just a random person, literally, that just walked through the episode and then stood in the background behind a tree trying to get in the shot?
That's what it looked like to me.
Wow. That was amazing.
It was a little bit amazing.
I think maybe you ought to consider hiring some sort of personal security team to be with you just in case moments like that happen again in the future.
Possibly.
Because your safety is very important.
Yeah, but, you know, how hard could he really hurt me? Because I did dent the floor with my face, you know. I could take
it. That's true. That is true. You are pretty tough.
Now, speaking of that episode, though, there was rumblings of a tremendous lemon muffin recipe. Can you share that recipe?
A lemon muffin recipe. Well, I would be more than happy to share that with you, Sign Guy, but I am my recipe book is something that is very treasured because I am such an amazing cook that I would be happy to share that recipe with you, but probably not anyone else. So I don't know that I want to broadcast it out to all of the listening audience.
Wow. All right. So people are probably disappointed right now. There's probably tears flowing. Zane Paisley probably has a meme at the ready to display his disappointment because he was shaking with excitement anticipating this episode.
Was he? Oh, I'm very sorry. Well, I could probably send it to Zane, too. He's on Inner Circle.
All right. That would be a good name for another podcast at some point if someone were to pick up that name.
The Inner Circle?
Yes.
That would be a pretty good podcast. Maybe that should be my podcast.
I would probably listen to it.
We just talk about recipes?
Yes.
Hmm. Well, I'll think on that one. I might have that in my future.
Now, can you confirm to us, in your opinion, whom you think has the very best body in professional wrestling, I'll say of all time?
Of all time. Well, let's see. I think that, I don't know, because I don't really like the, big, super muscly guys, and everyone knows that I have a thing for Dean Ambrose, so I'm always disappointed that they have him in, the wife beater and the Gene situation, but I like it when they rip his tank top off, and then you see his body, because he has more of, the kind of figure that I like that's not super crazy muscles, but so he's probably the one that I find, the most attractive as, person. But as far as, best physique goes, as far as, big muscles and stuff, I think that by far John Cena has, the best classic, muscular physique.
Rex Razor Sharp might be hitting the gym right now, lifting heavy weights, begging broads to talk about wedding planning. So he can imitate John Cena's routine.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if our gym has trick plates or not. So I don't know.
You could always take his own.
Oh, that's true. He could bring his own trick plates. But
now, years ago, when Dean Ambrose was on the independent circuit, he was much different style. He was kind of a wild, crazy guy. He was a regular for CZW, which is a ultra-violent promotion.
Oh,
what's
yeah.
your feeling on the blood aspect in pro wrestling?
Well, me personally, it's hard for me to watch some of that stuff. I think it's a little too much. I know that a lot of people are really into that kind of stuff, but me personally, I worked in the healthcare field for a long time, so all I can ever think about is transmission of bodily fluids and diseases and things like that. So when I watch that kind of stuff, I'm just no, stop bleeding on each other. You're going to get each other some kind of disease or something like that. So it makes me super anxious, but I know Rex loves that kind of stuff, but for me, it just makes me very anxious, and I don't like for people to actually get hurt in professional wrestling. I like for it all to be safe for everyone, so I'm probably more on the side of not really enjoying that kind of extreme wrestling style. I like the more PG-13 maybe rated version of wrestling.
All right. Now, I would like to point out that QT right now is thinking that you would have picked Ravishing Rick Rude for the best physique of all time.
Well, that crossed my mind, actually, because he's got, I like a hairy chest, too, so he had that going for him. So I definitely remember as a girl seeing him and thinking that he was an attractive fella. So, he definitely was one that I crossed by my mind, but I was thinking more of, the wrestlers that I find attractive, at this point in time. Everybody always teases me because, when Dean Ambrose comes on the screen, I get all flustered and they laugh at me, so.
I'd also like to point out that QT, very disappointed that you did not mention him at all. Probably hurt him in his pancreas.
Yeah, well, that's the way things go, I guess.
He also might hit the gym.
Sebastian Booger.
Oh. What was that?
I was going to guess your third choice would have been Bastion Booger.
Oh. Hmm.
I'm not sure you know who he is, though.
No, I don't think so.
That's your homework assignment, to look up Bastion Booger. Yes.
Okay.
He was a classic gimmick.
He was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we have just a few minutes left, so I'm going to let you have that time. If there's anything you'd like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything you want, doesn't matter what it is, anything at all, go for it.
Well, I really don't have anything that I have to promote or whatever, but I, you know, I was on the, let's see, I'm on Total Dues every once in a while, so that would probably be the thing that I would promote. I want everyone to listen to Total Dues on Wednesday nights.
All right. Well, this has been a successful conclusion to BS Month. So thanks very much for joining us here today.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for having me, Sangai.
And I shall await the lemon muffin recipe.
Definitely. And I will await the video clips that you are given homework to show me on Facebook.
One of them might be there as you log off of this very show.
Fantastic. That's wonderful.
All right. Well, fans, we'll be back with you next week. Total Dudes on Wednesday with my wife. My wife is the guest. And then Friday on Sign Guys Wrestling Show, first guest of 2016, the man once married to Miss Piggy, Paul Moonshine, joining us. And then next Friday, kicking off NWA Blue Collar Wrestling Month, because all Fridays in January, NWA Blue Collar personnel going to be joining us next Sunday. Speaking of NWA Blue Collar, the owner of that company, Tex Thompson, going to be with us. So join us then. I will be in Portland later this afternoon. Make sure you get out there, support the local independents, and we will talk to you fans next week.
Just before.